We celebrate you. Welcome to Lofty Heights Christian Center, a ministry that exists to raise kingdom influencers. As a church, we emphasize three things: the Word, the integrity of it and its ability to transform, the Holy Spirit, His power and demonstration of the same, and love. Love for God, for yourself, and for others. You are about to experience God's undiluted Word from God's servant. Get ready for a transformation.
So tonight, I'm just sharing, you know, and telling you that God wants you to be well. God wants you to be well, spirit, soul, and body. And this is just in preparation for the series that Pastor is going to be taking us through, which is Healing Rain. And I love how Pastor has clarified that this healing rain is not just in your, it's not just in your physical health. It's in your mental health. It's in your emotional health. It's in every aspect of your life. It's in your financial health. It's in your career health. So it cuts across every facet of your life. And I don't know about you, but I'm, you know, looking forward to that series. I'm looking forward to the testimonies that will come from the Healing Rain series. So if you don't know, we're going to be having Healing Rain throughout the month of September. And so next week, Friday, that's the first encounter night we're going to have right here at the auditorium at the Arc, 7 p.m. So if you haven't, please clear your calendar. Clear your calendar for every Friday and every Sunday in the month of September. Hallelujah. And that being said, this is going to be, you know, the last recharge until October, because in the month of September, we will not be having recharge because of the encounter night. Amen. So tonight I'm just sharing, God wants you well. God wants you well. And I believe that, you know, this message is for someone. This message is for someone. God wants you well. God wants you to be well. He wants you to be healed, whole, and well, spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. The scripture we just read in Matthew 8, 1 to 3. I love that scripture so much. Matthew 8, 1 to 3. The Passion Translation puts it this way. It says, after he came down from teaching on the hillside, massive crowds began following him. Suddenly a leper walked up to Jesus and threw himself down before him in worship and said, Lord, you have the power to heal me if you really want to. The man told Jesus, you have the power to heal me if you really want to. Basically, he was telling Jesus, if you want to help me, you can. But I don't know if you are willing. I know you are able, but I don't know if you're willing. And I love Jesus' response. Verse 3, it says, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the leper. We read the scripture and we just glance over it. We don't know what is, we don't know. Why did the scripture tell us that Jesus reached out his hand and touched the leper? The scriptures could have told us Jesus healed the man. But it says Jesus reached out and he touched the leper and said, of course I want to heal you. He could have looked at the man and say and just said, be healed. Or say, dude, spirit of leprosy, get out of him. But scripture says he reached out and he touched the man. In the Old Testament, people were not allowed to touch anyone with leprosy. When we read Leviticus from verse 13, let's just go there since, you know, it's Bible study as well. Leviticus 13 from verse 45. Leviticus 13 from verse 45. From verse 45, it says, anyone with such a defiling, this was talking about leprosy. It says, anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes. Let their hair be unkempt. Cover the lower part of their face and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. This is referring to people who had leprosy in the Old Testament. These were God's people. But the Lord had instructed the priests that if you examine a man and you find out that that man has leprosy, that man must wear torn clothes, and the man himself must be pronouncing, must be shouting and crying out on the streets, unclean, unclean, and he must live outside the camp. And then when you read Leviticus, you find out that if you touch a man with leprosy, you have sinned, because now you want to contaminate everyone else in the camp. You want to spread the disease. So it was a thing of shame. It was a disease of shame. But scripture tells us that Jesus reached out and he touched the man. But he didn't just touch the man. He validated the man and said, of course. I love the Passion Translation, the way the Passion puts it. He tells the man, of course I want to heal you. And then he says to the man, be healed. Three things that Jesus did. He touched that man. And so tonight, maybe you have that sickness that is shameful. Maybe it's a mental health issue, because mental health issues are surrounded with so much shame. Nobody wants to admit that they are depressed. No one wants to admit that they have suicidal thoughts. No one wants to admit that they have anxiety. No one wants to admit that they have PTSD. No one wants to admit that they're experiencing these symptoms. Or maybe it's a shameful disease that society has termed shameful because you got that disease in your body because you were sleeping around. Maybe it's a sexually transmitted infection. You can't say it out because society has told you that it is your fault. If you did not sleep around in the first place, you won't get it. Or maybe it's infertility. You can't speak up because, as a woman, shouldn't you be fertile? That's what society says. Tonight, Jesus is saying to you, of course I want to heal you. Of course I want to heal you. Many times, the sickness in people's bodies are a result of either unforgiveness or, and not all the time, note that I didn't say all the time, either unforgiveness or as a result of condemnation. Because now the devil is telling you, you had a role to play in this. You had a role to play in this. He's telling you, you caused this. You brought this upon yourself. He's telling you, if not for this thing that you did, if not for that abortion that you did, you would not have had complications with your uterus. If not because of that thing that you were taking that has caused complications now, you will not be experiencing this issue. And so he has told you that he has a right to afflict you. He has made you believe that the reason why guys, men will keep treating you like this is because you are worthless. So you deserve it. He has told you that you have so much trauma, and so you cannot attract the right people. So he's telling you that abuse, you deserve it. He's telling you you disobeyed God. So you deserve it. And then he even gives you the scripture, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Then he tells you again, did the scripture not say the soul that sinneth shall die? He tells you, you have been eating wrongly. That's why the sickness has come now. And so maybe you're watching this or you're listening to me right now, and there is one aspect in your life that the devil has made you believe that you deserve this pain. You deserve this shame. You deserve this sickness, this trauma. I've come to tell you that Jesus says, of course, I want to heal you. We look at the story of that woman who was caught in adultery. She was not committing adultery with herself, but she was caught in adultery with a man. But society, they left the man. That is not even my point. And they brought the woman to Jesus. They brought the woman to Jesus and said, Master, we caught this woman in adultery. We caught her in the very act. This is John 8. We caught her in the very act of adultery. And by the law, this woman should be stoned to death. Again, she deserved it. After all, did she not know that the law said do not commit adultery? Did she not know that that sin was unto death? Why couldn't she just keep it together? Why did she have to sleep around? Or like some people would say, why did she get caught? Did she not know? Was it not her fault? If she died, would you blame the people for stoning her? Did she not deserve what was coming to her? They brought her to Jesus. And they said to him, this woman deserves to die. This woman deserves the shame that comes from stoning to death. And Jesus looked at them and said, the one who is without sin should be the first person to cast a stone. And they all left her. And the one who was without sin, who could have been the one to stone this woman to death and he would be justified, that same God of justice looked at the woman. John 8:11. Mindy, please give me that scripture. Jesus looked at the woman and said, I do not condemn you. I believe the contemporary English version says, I do not point an accusing finger at you. Was she not guilty? She was guilty. But Jesus said to her, I do not condemn you. The same way he's saying to you tonight, I do not condemn you. He's saying to you tonight, I do not condemn you. Whatever he's saying to you tonight, I do not condemn you. Yes, you have made some mistakes. Yes, you disobeyed my instructions. Yes, you went astray. Yes, you disobeyed and went against my word. But he's saying to you tonight, I do not condemn you. Romans 8. Oh, glory to Jesus. Romans 8. I'm going to read that from the Passion Translation. Media, I celebrate you. I'm going to read that from the Passion Translation, Romans 8, from verse 1. I love the Passion Translation, the way the Passion puts this scripture. It says, now the case is closed. It says, there remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. It says there remains no accusing voice of condemnation. This means that whenever you hear that voice that tells you you deserve this, whenever you hear that voice that reminds you of your sin and what you have done, that voice is not from God. It means that whenever you feel that guilt, that voice, that emotion is not from God. Now verse 2 says, for the law of the spirit of life, flowing through the anointing of Jesus, has liberated us from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death that says the soul that sinneth shall die. It says this life that we have received from Jesus, this law of the spirit of life has liberated us from that pronouncement. And so, tonight I want to encourage you not to forsake the mercy of God. Not to observe lying vanities and forsake the mercy of God. Jonah 2:8. It says, they that observe lying vanities, they forsake their mercy. God is saying to you tonight, I do not condemn you. I do not in any way condemn you. He's saying tonight, I am not in any way accusing you. He's saying to you tonight, I am not that voice of accusation. The Amplified puts it in a very interesting way. There is therefore now no adjudging guilt of wrong to them that are in Christ Jesus. God doesn't condemn you. He doesn't condemn you. He doesn't condemn you. While I was praying this evening, the Lord said to me to say to someone, He says, I am your righteousness. I am the reason why you deserve good things. And I believe it that that word is for someone tonight. God says to tell you that He is your righteousness. We read 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. It says, Christ has been made unto us righteousness. And God tonight is saying to you, I am the reason why you deserve good things. And so maybe you look at your life and say, how in the world do I deserve a godly man? How in the world do I deserve something great? How in the world do I deserve something good? God is saying to you tonight, I am the reason why you deserve good things. He's saying to you tonight, I am your righteousness. If that word is for you, I want you to, after now, I want you to meditate on that word. I want you to meditate on that. I want you to go back, search scriptures, Google it, look at commentaries on Google, study what that word means, that I am your righteousness. Maybe you look at yourself and say, there is nothing good about me. There is nothing good about my life. Jesus says, I am your righteousness. I am the reason you deserve to be healed. I am the reason you deserve to be in peace. I am the reason you deserve to live a good life. I am the reason you deserve to live a soft life. He is your righteousness. He is your righteousness. He is your righteousness. He is your righteousness. Oh, glory to Jesus. Oh, glory to Jesus. God wants you to be well much more than you want to be well. In Luke 13 from verse 10 to 17. Luke 13 from verse 10 to 17. I wonder if we should read it or if I should tell you the story. Do you want to read it or should I tell you the story? You want to read it? Are you sure? Or you just want me to say, okay, fine, let's read it. All right, let's turn our Bibles to Luke 13. From verse 10, we'll read to 17. Media, please cooperate with me. Please give me this verse in NKJV or KJV. Give me in NKJV or KJV. So, verse 10 says, now he was teaching in one of, this was Jesus. It says, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Verse 11. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. Wow. Verse 12. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Amen. You know, tonight I just sense that as someone is listening to me speak, there will be these negative feelings or negative emotions rising up, coming up to the surface tonight. And I just want to tell you that if you're that person and you're experiencing that, congratulations. Because that means that the Lord is going to heal you of all of that tonight. In the name of Jesus. The reason I showed you this scripture is to show you that God wants to heal you. God wants you well, much more than you desire to be made whole and well. This woman, Jesus was teaching in the synagogue and she walked in. She couldn't stand straight. The scripture tells us that she has been bound for 18 years and she couldn't stand straight. She did not walk up to, unlike the woman with the issue of blood, that went to hold Jesus' garment and say, if I just touch him, I will be made whole. Or the ones that the friends broke the roof to bring him down so that they will be healed. Or the one that was crying out and shouting. Hallelujah. Or the one that was crying out and shouting and said, Jesus, Son of Nazareth, heal me. Make me well. Make me well. Unlike that one, this woman did not do anything. She just came in the way she was. Her mind probably was not even on Jesus. Her mind was, let me just find my seat. Her mind was not on the on Jesus at all. But notice what the master did. He said something. Ought not this woman, being the daughter of Abraham, to be made well? Thank you, Sister Yako. Ought not this woman, being the daughter of Abraham, to be made well? I want you to notice something. The woman did not call the attention of Jesus. She was bent over. It's easy to miss that. Maybe other people were standing, but Jesus took note of this woman. And scripture tells us that he called her forward. Same way, maybe those things are coming up in your mind right now. Maybe the pain is even getting worse. Tonight, God will heal that in the name of Jesus. Jesus took note of this woman. He took note of this woman. He noticed this woman. So maybe there's that thing, maybe it's a trauma that you've pushed to the sidewalk for so long. God is looking at you and saying something. Ought not this man, this child of mine, be made whole? Hagar said, "For you are the God who sees me." I want you tonight to open up your heart. Sometimes we may have hurts or pains or even sicknesses, physical ailments that we don't know of. I mean, we science has told us that a man could, you know, be prone to depression, could be prone to cancer because it had been in the man's, you know, bloodline. But a man may never develop it until his later years. I want you to open up yourself tonight to the God who sees you. I want you to open up yourself tonight to the God who sees you. And tell him, Lord, maybe there is something that I don't know of. Maybe there's a hurt that I feel like I've gotten over, but I haven't. But you are the one who sees me. And you are my healer, so heal me tonight. Again, while I was praying, the Lord was speaking to me concerning someone. And he was saying to me about that person, maybe all you've known in your life is pain. Be it physical pain or emotional pain. Maybe all your life, what you have the most memory of is pain, trauma, hurts. Now the Lord is saying to you tonight, ought not this child of mine to be made whole and well? Let's look at the basis for our healing. 3 John 1 verse 2 tells us, John speaking to Gaius, and he was saying, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Tonight, that is also God's will for you. The basis for your healing today, it's simple, Isaiah 53. Let's look at Isaiah 53. God is our healer. He's our healer. He's our healer. He's responsible for us. He's responsible for us. He bought us. He purchased us with his blood. He purchased us with his blood. He's responsible for us. Maybe you thought to yourself, I'm responsible for my healing. I don't know, people say funny things. God is responsible for you. He's responsible for you. He purchased you. He didn't purchase you and to just keep you aside. He bought you with his precious blood. He gave up everything for you. He's responsible for you. Of course, he made provision for your healing. Of course, he saw everything that you would do, and he made provision for your healing. Isaiah 53. Media, can we go to Isaiah 53? Give me an NKJV. Isaiah 53, NKJV. We're going to read the entire chapter. Isaiah 53, the NKJV. from verse 1, it says, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Verse 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected by men. This was Jesus, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Surely, that's to say certainly, definitely, most assuredly, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That word griefs also includes heartbreak. No wonder scripture tells us in Psalm 34, the Message translation, that God is close to the brokenhearted. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. God saw every pain that you would ever go through, and he bore it on the cross. This is the basis for your healing. This is the basis for your health. This is the basis, the very foundation of your health. Jesus says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Surely he has borne your grief and carried your sorrows. It means that pain, Jesus has taken it. We say this so much that it's almost becoming like music, but it is the truth. Jesus has borne your pain. He has borne that disease, that sickness. He has carried it. Verse 5, Isaiah 53, verse 5. It says he was pierced, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. It says the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. There's provision for your healing. There's provision for your healing. God has made a way for your healing. It says by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. It says we've gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own wicked ways. But God has laid on him the transgression, the iniquities, the pain. He has laid everything that belonged to us. He laid it on Jesus on the cross. He nailed it on the cross with Jesus. In Romans 6, when we read Romans 6, in the Passion Translation, it tells us that we were in Christ Jesus when he was on the cross. He was made sick with our sicknesses. All of that was placed on Jesus. He was placed on Jesus, and Jesus did not just take our sins and sicknesses so that just for taking it. No, he took it so he can give us something. He took our life so that he can give us his life. He took our sicknesses so he can give us his health. There is healing for you today. No child of God has to go through pain or sickness, because God has made provision for it. In the Old Testament, he said to them, I will heal you. It says all these diseases that will come upon other people, it won't come upon you if you follow my word. Now he's saying to you, I have taken away those sicknesses. They have I've denied those sicknesses of power to harm or hurt you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your healing has been settled. Your healing has been settled. No matter what the issue is, no matter what the sickness is, there is healing for you. There is healing for you. There is healing for you. Don't observe lying vanities and forsake your mercy and forsake your healing. There is healing for you. That's why I want to just encourage you tonight. As this series is coming up, Healing Rain, take it as that avenue for your healing. Take it as that opportunity for your healing. Have the mindset of, there's no way this series will be over without me receiving my healing. Let this be that September be that month that you devote and say, this is the month where I receive my healing. This is the month where I receive my total restoration. I've put it away for so long. This is the month, finally, I will be healed. Don't accept pain. Don't accept pain as the order of the day. Don't accept sickness as the order of the day. There is a way for you. I love the scripture so much. I love the scripture so much. Today we talk about infertility. We talk about the fact that and when you give yourself to those, when you give yourself to those remarks and those reports, it drowns your faith. It makes you to start observing lying vanities, and so you forsake your healing. You forsake the life that is in Christ. I'll share this testimony. I'll share this. It's a very personal testimony. A very personal testimony. Someone so dear to me. So dear to me. I remember I've shared this so many times that I prayed for her baby from January to September. The baby was born. After a month, the baby died. Now this person took in again. This was maybe some years back. And, you know, it was a thing of joy. And then she got to delivery. This is after many miscarriages, after lots of issues. This time she got pregnant, and so they had to conduct a C-section to remove the baby. But then the baby was dead. But they had to take the baby out anyway. And then, as if that was not enough, they told her, oh, she was experiencing pain. So she had to go back, and they said, oh, there are some complications. We have to rush you back into the theater. And then they took her back again for another operation after the C-section. This was less than 6 weeks. How many months is 6 weeks? This was less than 2 months. They rushed her back again to do another operation. And then they got into the operating room. They were trying to remove whatever they forgot there. And then they called the husband and said, hey, we're looking at your wife's ovaries and her uterus, and we are seeing that they are white. This is not the way it should be. We need to take them out. If not, we could lose her. I believe it was ovaries and fallopian tubes, actually. And the husband said, okay. They had the husband sign so they could take out every reproductive organ. So I believe the ovaries and fallopian tube were taken out. I'm not sure about the uterus, but the ovaries, the fallopian tube, they were taken out. And they were sad. They were down. As if that was not enough. Maybe at least they'll be thinking, okay, well, they took out this thing so that I can live. At least if I'm alive, I can adopt. Later on, the doctors called them back and apologized and said, we're sorry. Those were just the nature of your fallopian tubes and ovaries. There was nothing wrong with them. We took them to the lab, and there was nothing wrong with them. I'm telling you about a story of my sister. They told her, hey, there was nothing wrong with your organs. We took them to the lab and they had no issues. We are so sorry. Maybe you can adopt. And they went back home broken, sad. And they thought to themselves, oh, we'll just adopt. And so they decided to donate to an orphanage. You know, just so that, okay, we can register our faces and you get to know us. And she continued to be in pain for months upon months. 2 years passed. She was in pain. She went to church. She was prayed for. She was in pain. She was prayed for, and it's an entire story. But she continued to be in pain, only to realize that she was pregnant. I'm not telling you a story that the doctor said, oh, we removed the fallopian tubes, we removed the ovaries, but it was a mistake, they were still there. These things were harvested. She went back, and the doctors could not explain how this woman could have taken. They did not do IVF. Okay, maybe somehow, maybe, you can't explain it. She delivered that baby, she took in again. And so I look at those children. The first one is about, she's almost maybe 4 years now. She's a tall baby. The other one just celebrated his 1 year birthday a few months ago. When I look at those children, these ones were from God. And so I'm telling you tonight that maybe the doctor has looked at you and said, No, your case, we can't solve it. There is no way around it. I've come to tell you that God has made a way. He has made provision for your health, for your healing. Don't let the devil deceive you with lies. Don't let him deceive you with lies, saying you deserve. The devil does not have any right to afflict you, no matter what. It's like living in the forest, and you know that there are snakes all around, and you leave your door open. Are you supposed to leave your door open? No. You should close your door. But imagine leaving your door open and a snake comes in. What many of us do, because we open the door for the enemy to come in, we start beating ourselves up in condemnation and guilt. We start beating ourselves up in condemnation and guilt. I deserve this. I opened the door for this. But should your response not be to kill that snake? And then you can settle yourself with the door or whatever later. God is saying to you tonight, I do not condemn you. And the devil has no right, no legal authority, no right to afflict you, no matter what. God wants you well. Romans 5:17, it says, death reigned by one man. Death reigned, media, please display that scripture, Romans 5:17. Death reigned by one man. Death reigned through the transgression, the fall of one man, Adam. So because of Adam, oh glory to Jesus, because of Adam, death passed on to everyone who was ever born. Because of Adam, now we experience sickness, pain, disease, cancer, all sorts of, because of the transgression of Adam. Romans 5:17 media. But then it tells us that how much more, let's look at that scripture. If media will not give us a scripture, let's open our Bibles and look at the scripture. Romans 5:17. Romans 5:17. It says, for if by the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more would those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Now God is acknowledging, yes, I know it's a fallen world. I know there are so many diseases, sicknesses, both the ones that are contagious, the ones that are not contagious. I know. He says, I know in this world there is death. There is incipient death, which is sickness. But he says, how much more will those, you and I, who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life? How much more we who are now under the law of the Spirit of life, how much more will we reign in life through Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. In Romans 8:10-11, I love the NIV. The NIV says, but if though the body be dead because of sin, it says, but the Spirit gives it life because of righteousness. It means simply, even though your body might be subject to death, even though your body might be subject to sickness, it says, how much more will the Spirit give your body life? It says, if that same Spirit, not if, we know that Spirit lives now, since that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, since that Spirit lives inside of us, that same Spirit will give life to our mortal bodies. Christ is in you. The Holy Ghost is in you. The healer is in you. We are not praying up to God with strained eyes and looking to Him for our healing. He is in us. He is in you. Is He willing? Yes. Is He able? Yes. He is in you. He is in you. Christ is in you. Christ is in you. He's the reason you deserve healing. He's the reason you deserve to live healthy. In Ezekiel 37, Paul recalls this same thought in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. Let's see that scripture. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. It says, "What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk with them." Let's read this in NKJV. Okay, that's what's... I love the NKJV. The NKJV says, "As God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Media, can you give me that in KJV? I love the scripture. Good. Now, the KJV says, "As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them." I love that he says walk in them. The word walk there, the original word used there that was translated to walk in them, is the word parambolate. Oh, whenever I think about this, I'm so stirred up from within. It says, "I will walk in them." That word there is parambolate. It's like CBSA, is that what they call it? Canadian Border Authority, whatever it's called. It's like those border officials. It's like the way they parambulate. It's like the way they walk through the border, making sure that there is no problem, making sure that there is nobody trying to trespass, making sure that there is no one who is trying to cause a problem, making sure that there is no invader. It says, "I will walk in them. I will parambulate." It means that the spirit of God in us is parambulating the borders of our bodies. Oh, Christ is in you. Christ is in you. He is in you. It says, "Since that spirit that lives in, that raised Jesus from the dead, since that spirit lives in you, he himself will quicken your mortal bodies." It means that he is walking through the borders of your body. It says, "I will walk in them." And so he's looking at your cells and noticing, "This one is getting short, so I will quicken this body now to receive life." It's no wonder he says, "If you drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt you." Because there is one who is walking through the borders of your body. Oh, Christ is in you. Oh, Christ is in you. The Holy Ghost is in you. The healer is in you. No problem. Maybe I'm saying this and you don't really understand the depth of it. This is why September is your month of healing. Your month to study and understand these healing scriptures. Christ truly is in you. Christ truly is in you. It says in Corinthians, I believe it says, life has swallowed up death. This one who is in you, he is God. He is life himself. And he can swallow up any death, any infirmity that is in you. Christ is in you. This is the basis for your healing. This is the basis for your healthy living. Oh, glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. I bring the teaching to a close tonight. How do we receive our healing today? You know, a lot of times, recently, I just come to understand that things of the Spirit are not difficult. God is not trying to make anything difficult for anybody. It's very simple. If you desire healing from whatever is wrong with you, if you desire a healing, it is very simple. What you have to do is very simple. Sit down with the Word of God. Sit down with the Word of God. I've given you several scriptures for healing tonight. Sit down with God's word and begin to look at it. Just begin to look at the scriptures. Begin to look at the word of God. Healing Rain holds every Friday and Sunday in September. Don't miss those services. Don't miss any service day in September. Plan and prepare to attend. Plan and prepare to attend. Let your heart be filled with expectation. Let your heart be filled with expectation. Plan and prepare to attend every service in September. It's okay if you're at that stage where there's a particular thing in your body that you desire healing from. It's okay if you're at that stage where you don't have faith necessarily for your healing. It's okay if you're at that phase. What you need to then do is to plan to attend every service in September. What you need to do is to sit down with the Word of God. That is what you need to do. You will sit down with the Word of God in studying it and in meditating it until faith rises in your heart. In 2 Peter, from chapter 1, from verse 19 to 21, scripture tells us that you will do well to hold onto the word of prophecy, to the word of God, until the day star rises in your heart and the day dawns in your heart. It means that you will do well to hold onto the word of God until faith arises in your heart. Until faith rises in your heart, stay with the word. Maybe right now, as I've been speaking tonight, all that has risen in your heart is hope. Hope in the sense of, oh wow, there's a possibility for my healing. There's a possibility that I can get healed. I can't get healed. Stay with the word until you know for sure, oh, I'm healed. Stay with the word until you know that despite what I'm feeling, despite what I'm noticing in my body, despite the symptoms, I am healed. If you're still at that stage where because of the symptoms you're seeing, you can't believe that you are truly healed, it's fine. It just means you need to stay with the word more. Stay with the word until you know that God has healed you. And it wouldn't even matter whatever you're feeling in your body, you just know for sure that God has healed you. And when you get to that stage that you know, don't stop there. Start declaring it. And for someone, maybe your issue is not even physical healing. Maybe it's mental healing or emotional healing. Don't keep quiet. You're trusting God for healing. You're trusting God for healing from that heartbreak, from that emotional issue. Don't stop there. Once you get that word in your heart and you know for sure that God has healed you, start declaring it. Start speaking it. Hebrews 13 verse 5. I love that scripture so much. It says, God has said so that we may boldly say. In Corinthians, I believe it says, we having the same spirit of faith. As was said, I believe, therefore I speak. When you believe, the next phase is for you to speak. When faith rises in your heart, the next phase is for you to speak. And you keep speaking that word. You keep speaking that word until the symptoms fade. Sometimes when we're speaking and we're still looking at the symptoms, we're still checking to see the symptom is there. Most times it's because faith has not really risen in your heart. And that is not a problem. It just means you need to stay longer with the word. It just means you need to improve what you're doing. It just means you need to stay longer in meditation. It just means you need to stay longer in prayer. As I bring my teaching to an end tonight, what I want you to remember from tonight's message is this simple. God does not condemn you, regardless of the cause of the sickness or trauma in you. He doesn't condemn you. Just like he said to that woman who was brought to him because she was caught in adultery, he's saying to you, I do not condemn you. God doesn't condemn you. We need to learn to run to God despite. not away from God. So yes, Lord, I did wrong. Yes, Lord, I messed up. Yes, Lord, I'm wrong in this matter. Yes, Lord, I'm having negative emotions. I'm feeling these negative emotions. Yes, Lord, despite this, I'm running to you. God doesn't condemn you. God wants you well and whole. God wants you whole. God wants you whole. God wants you to be able to say, oh, glory to Jesus, there is no hurt in my heart. There is no pain in my body. There is no sickness in my body. God wants you whole. And next, the basis for your healing is the finished works of Christ and his spirit that lives in you. There is one who lives in you that guarantees that you will come out of that pain, out of that trauma, out of that sickness. His name is the Holy Ghost. Christ in you, your hope of glory. Christ in you, the assurance, the evidence, the proof that you will live a whole life. Can we rise to our feet tonight and let's pray. We're going to be praying tonight. Romans 8 says, there is no accusing voice against us. There is no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. I want you to pray tonight and say, I silence every voice of condemnation. I silence every voice of guilt. I silence every voice of guilt. I silence every voice of condemnation in the name of Jesus. Can you make that prayer tonight? Can you make that prayer tonight? I silence every voice of guilt, every voice of guilt, every accusing voice, every voice of condemnation. I silence right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, Marco Satali Brade Satalide. Oh, I silence every voice of condemnation. I silence every voice of guilt in the name of Jesus. Oh, Marco Satale Brado Satanegedo. I silence the voice of condemnation. I silence the voice of guilt in the name of Jesus. Rekalaba zedo satande gedosa. E kalabande ko satande gede. I silence every voice of guilt. I silence the voice of condemnation in the name of Jesus. Male kobra de sotombra de gedosa. Rabade satande. That voice that keeps bringing up every wrong that I have ever done, I silence that voice tonight in the name of Jesus. Every voice that keeps telling me, oh, this is why your life is going this way, because of what you have done, I silence that voice tonight in the name of Jesus. Every voice of condemnation, I silence tonight in the name of Jesus. Every voice that says, you don't deserve this, you don't deserve this, this thing is too good for you, I silence that voice tonight. I no longer hear that voice. I no longer hear that voice. In the name of Jesus, that voice is silenced. In the name of Jesus, I no longer hear the voice of condemnation. I no longer hear the voice of condemnation. That voice is silenced. In the name of Jesus, that voice is silenced. In the name of Jesus. Now I want you to pray. I want you to declare and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Christ is my righteousness. I want you to begin to declare tonight and say, Christ is my righteousness. Christ is my righteousness. Christ is the reason I deserve good things. Christ is my reason, the reason I deserve good things. Oh, mako rabande ko shataleba. Reba shatande ko shatande regedosha. Rabande ko shatande la kombra de. Christ is my righteousness. Are kalaba zote. The basis of my life, the basis, the reason I will receive good things, the reason I deserve good things, it's because of Christ and his finished works. The reason I deserve to be healed is because of Christ and his finished works. Christ is my righteousness. Oh, ma ko sheke rabande ko sa rabande ke lebedo shata ele gadabande kombra de shadada e barakosha tande gede rabanda kosha. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Next, you're going to pray tonight and say, Lord, strengthen me with might in my inner man. Sometimes you know the word of God. Sometimes you know what God's word says. But maybe because of strongholds, maybe because of disappointments in the past, maybe because of one thing or another, that is so difficult to actually act on God's word. It's so difficult to actually take God's word. I want you to pray tonight that you'll be strengthened with might in your inner man. That you'll be strengthened with might in your inner man. In the name of Jesus. Sometimes you know that you should study. Sometimes you know that if you will just pick up your Bible and study God's word, you will be free. But it's so difficult to actually do that. I want you to pray tonight and say, Lord, strengthen me with might in my inner man. In Philippians 2, the Lord says, I will give you the desire and I will give you the ability, the energy to act on that desire. Maybe God has been giving you that desire to just study his word. Now pray to him and say, Lord, strengthen me. Strengthen me with might in your inner man. Strengthen me with might in my inner man. In the name of Jesus. Energize my spirit, man. Energize my spirit, man. Energize my spirit, man. For you are the spirit of might, oh God. Lord, strengthen me with might in my inner man. Lord, strengthen me with might in my inner man. In the name of Jesus. Lord, strengthen me with might in my inner man. Where I've been weak in the spirit, oh God, strengthen me. Where I've been weak in the spirit, oh God, strengthen me. In the name of Jesus, Lord, strengthen me with might in my inner man. Lord, strengthen me with might in my inner man. Give me the desire and energize me to act on the desire, oh God. Give me the strength, oh God, to act on your word. Give me the strength, oh God, to take your word. Give me the strength, oh God, to act on your word, to rely on your word. Lord, strengthen my inner man. Strengthen me in my spirit, oh God. Oh, scripture says if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. But again, it says that I am the spirit of strength, and they that wait of me, they shall renew their strength. He is the spirit of might. Will you pray to him for strength tonight? Lord, strengthen me in my inner man. Energize me in my inner man. Strengthen me, oh God. Strengthen me from within. Strengthen my heart to hold on. Strengthen my heart to hold on. Strengthen my heart to hold fast to every word that you have spoken to me. Every word that you have spoken to me, give me the strength, oh God, to stay. Give me the strength, oh God, to hold on to those words. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Mashakaya Labadi. Lord, tonight I pray, oh God, for everyone who is watching this right now. Lord, I pray for everyone who is watching this right now. That voice of condemnation is silenced. In the name of Jesus, tonight the Lord has set you free from that guilt, from that spirit of guilt that torments you. That spirit of condemnation, the Lord has set you free tonight. In the name of Jesus, from tonight you will no longer hear that voice of condemnation. From tonight you will no longer hear that voice that accuses you. In the name of Jesus, that torment stops right now. That torment of condemnation, it has ceased in your life. That torment of accusation, it has ceased in your life. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for everyone who is watching this, oh God, who is listening right now. Oh, that you will strengthen them, oh God, in their inner man. That you will strengthen them, that throughout this month of September, you will strengthen them to attend every healing rain service. You will strengthen them to look into your word, to search the word, and that you will give them light in the place of study. Oh, I worship you, Father. I thank you because testimonies will break forth. Thank you because there will be mighty, mind-blowing testimonies from this series, Healing Rain, in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. At Lofty Heights Christian Center, we don't like bringing our services to a close without giving someone an opportunity to turn to Jesus. Maybe you've been watching this. Maybe you're here right now in the auditorium and you've not given your hearts to Jesus. Maybe you're not born again and you know for sure that you're not born again, because scripture tells us that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Maybe you can't say that you're a child of God because the Spirit of God is not in you and is not bearing witness with your spirit. This is your moment. This is your time to turn to Jesus. If you are that person tonight, I want you to just close your eyes. All eyes closed and all heads bowed. If you're that person tonight, I want you to just say this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I've heard about you today. I've heard that you died, you were buried, and you were raised back to life. Tonight, I declare that I believe. And I declare that you are Lord. Jesus, be Lord over my life. I confess that you are Lord and that you are now Lord over my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer, congratulations. You are now born again. It is that simple. Romans 10 from verse 10 tells us that if you will believe in your heart that Jesus was raised back to life, and if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved, which is what you have done tonight. Congratulations, you're born again.
We trust God that this ministration blessed your life tremendously. Do share your testimony and experience with us by emailing us at hello@myloftyheightsglobal.org. For more life-transforming messages from our ministry, please visit and subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also stay connected with us across our social media platforms at My Lofty Heights. To give to our ministry, please visit our website. We love you, we honor you, and we celebrate you.